Hi, this is Peter Bagg, friend of Inkstuds, and you can catch Inkstuds on Wonderful What?
CITR.
Wonderful CITR. How was that?
Fantastic.
CITR 101.9 FM Inkstuds. This is the beginning of our month-long focus on Canadian folks. Kind of recording this in advance because I have to work. So this will be airing. It's July 3rd, yada, 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 2 days after our wonderful national holiday where we, I don't know, what do we do in a Canadian holiday?
Not a whole lot, really. I find that, I don't know how it is in your city, but in my city, they have a big concert on the hill here, and it's like all these bands that I am never interested in hearing, and then people stumble drunkenly through my neighborhood, yelling at me, generally. I don't know what the rest of Canada do, but...
There, in Vancouver, there's a suburb called Surrey, which is kind of like our... shady part of Vancouver, or shady suburb. It's kind of the joke of the city. And
shady as in, like, dangerous? Or shady as in, like, it's, like, shaded?
I'd say rednecky.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, I think year before last, they had Kim Mitchell play.
Nice, he's still going.
Yeah, might as well
That's
go for
Canada
a soda.
Day.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess we celebrate things like that. That's what we do.
Patio lanterns.
Yeah.
So, our guest today, or my guest, because it's just me and myself, is Ray Fenwick, and your book is Hall of Best Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Not The Hall, but Hall of Best Knowledge.
Hall of Best Knowledge, yeah. I don't know why I took off the...
Was there originally a the?
I think there was for a while, and then I went back. I remember that when we were collecting it for Fantagraphics, I went back and took out the that was in the first 10. And I think the reason was because it was annoying to have to put the in every time, because on every single comic, the title is at the top of the thing, and I liked it better just having the three words. So that's the rigorous process that led to that.
Well, it kind of goes with the... I'm trying to think the right term. Is pneumatics the right term of your dialogue?
I don't. Well, it's. I mean, it's. Yeah. It is weird, or it is kind of like bad in the way that the rest of the text is meant to be bad. You know, it's kind of like not. It's kind of confusing, and it doesn't really. Hall of Best Knowledge doesn't really make roll off the tongue or anything. So it's kind of
So for folks that haven't seen it, what is Hall of Best Knowledge, and why am I talking about this on a comic radio show?
Well, Hall of Best Knowledge is a comic. But it's mostly text. It's mostly lettering and sort of ornamental drawing. And basically, each page in the book is a lesson that's being given on a topic by an unseen author who you get to know through sort of like little bits and bites over the course of the book, and so you come to know their voice and who they are a little bit over time. So it's you never see them because it's being written by the author. So
the mystery.
And I think that's the most basic way of describing it. I don't know. Does that? That seem like what you looked at?
Sure. So what was your roots? You're not necessarily an illustrator per se, but a typographer?
Well, I was, I'm an illustrator now mostly that's what I do that's my job is as an illustrator. But yeah, my roots were, in design. I started by doing rave flyers in the 90s. I got into the like that kind of stuff, and then
a lot of balloons and zapping,
like, futuristic looking
red,
yeah,
bright red and bright green.
Generally. I mean, we did some. I did some stuff that is totally corny, but I think it was pretty good for back then. But like, then that led to some design, more serious design work, and then I decided to go to school for design. Then after school, I just started drawing more than I was doing design work, and it just slowly led to wanting to do a comic. And so, I don't generally draw people that much, so I just was trying to just looking at all these sketchbooks I had that were full of stuff, and I was trying to think of a way that I could do something that would be a little more structured rather than just me drawing and keeping it locked in a drawer and stuff. So that's slowly formed the Hall of Best Knowledge stuff, and yeah.
It's interesting to hear that your roots are in Rave Flyers, because Hall of Best Knowledge and also your other work in MOAB is in completely the other direction. It's more of like an old-timey.
Yeah. I guess it is, right? Like, I mean, I definitely like old things in new contexts. I think that's something that I kind of am into, and but I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Hall of Best Knowledge was a couple of years ago, and I'm already I don't think I would go back and do something, like, I wouldn't do something old to be like to accurately capture an era or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think my interest in it is the novelty and the weirdness of the forms that are just sort of like I think just the novelty of a lot of that stuff. And so Hall of Best Knowledge is kind of a good way for me to, I mean, it worked with the character that I had in mind, which I won't like sort of go into detail about, but but that kind of like mishmash of sources without any attention to accuracy in terms of like historical periods, you know, being totally thrown together or what have you. But yeah, you're right, and I think the stuff in MOAB like probably looks old timey. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't have a love of old timey things though, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm
no,
not,
and
like,
I didn't yeah. mean to make it sound like you're dressed up as Seth and
oh, no.
You know,
oh, that'd be fine.
Listening
that'd
to music on your phonograph, winding it up.
Not just dressed up as like in old timey gear, but dressed up as Seth. That'd be strange.
Oh,
great. If people mistook me for Seth, though, then they'd think I was a serious cartoonist. That'd be awesome. Get instant respect.
There we go. You'll be curating Thanks. Galleries in no time.
Yeah. Now, don't edit that together so that it sounds like I'm making fun of Seth.
No, the fun part about these shows is I don't actually edit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, good, perfect.
Awesome. So, I probably make fun of people more than I should and don't stop myself. What was the idea when coming together with the Hall of Best Knowledge? Was it just something you were trying out and then kind of generated into the, I guess, was it weekly strip or monthly strip?
No, yeah, it was, well, basically I did about 10 of them. And I had I knew where I wanted to go with it, and I knew I wanted it to be, I mean, a certain finite length, and I had a friend, it so happened I was living in Toronto at the time, in Ontario, and as opposed to where, so I was living in Toronto, and I had friends in Halifax, where I am now, and one of them is an art director at an alt weekly called The Coast, and I was friends with the publishers there too, and so they were just sort of finishing with a comic that they had, and I had these sort of 10 built up, and I said, hey, you know, I sort of nudged them, and the art director there, my friend Kate, helped convince the publishers to run it weekly, and then so I started, you know, just doing one a week for a little, like about a year and a half or so, and then I was done.
Now, how did you get introduced to Fantagraphics?
I think what had happened, I'd sent the comic to a couple people because, I know a lot of people like do self-publishing stuff before they even think of sending it out, but mm-hmm. I liked it enough, and that I was naive enough to just think that it was okay to send a comic to someone and say, what do you think about this? And so I sent it to a couple of people and didn't really hear anything back, so and then Print Magazine, which is a design magazine, they we're going to do a feature story on me and mostly focusing on that comic, because a couple of people at print really liked it. And then after that was over, one of the people at print magazine, I believe she's assistant editor, or don't quote me on what her actual job title was at the time.
Grand Poobah.
Yeah. she said, oh, you know what, I think I have a friend at Fantagraphics who would like this, and so, you know, and she sent him an email sort of on my behalf saying, oh, you should check this out, and Eric at Fantagraphics emailed me and said, you know, I don't really want to look at this stuff online. If you could send this to me, and I'll take a look at it, and then they, months later or whatever, they told me they'd publish it. So
nice.
Kind of I mean, I definitely owe Emily is the person that was working at print who sent an email, and that really actually was cool for me because a lot of times in like comics and design and all these industries where there is a large amount of competition, it's nice when someone just is like, just sticks their neck out for you. Not like, you know, she would have gotten harmed or something by sending an email, but, you know, it's nice that...
Giving you props.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, you know, it really made me reconsider humanity in a way. I was just like, well, some people will actually go out of their way to help you, and then all this great stuff happened because of it, so I'm very lucky, so it's cool.
Why don't you take us through the process of putting together one of your haul pieces?
Right. So generally, the way I would think about it was, I used to be really into the X-Files, and I don't know anything about really telling stories, but I knew that what would work for a weekly format would be to have some issue or... not episodes, but some comics that advanced the story in a subtle way, and then some that were just meant to be sort of entertaining. Well, still, you know, they probably still advance the story, but like I just remember watching X-Files and thinking that there's like plot episodes, and then there's the ones that were just like good, but you're like, but they didn't, you know. So I wanted to have a combination of those. So I'd sort of decide whether it was going to be, you know, because I found too much moving the story forward, kind of like my friends would be like, yeah, I'm kind of confused, and I didn't want it to not work in like a weekly format. So in order to make it so that people didn't have to, you know what I mean? Like, so they didn't have to pay too close attention. But still, I mean, it's kind of, you can't just have like filler all the time. So anyways, I'd sort of decide whether it was going to be, which kind of episode it was going to be. And then, I just generally would have a notebook full of concepts that could be explained badly. If you took one subtle misunderstanding and then tried to explain said topic, that there would be something funny or interesting there. And so I would write it and then I guess do what everyone else would do, and I would just lay out sketches for it and try and I guess in the sketches for those things, the difference between Hall of Best Knowledge and other stuff that I do is that I kind of the point was for me not to have the actual design of the actual strip be some kind of metaphor for what was in the topic. Like, it was sort of like this purposeful game where it wouldn't reinforce the message, because I just wanted it to be this kind of confusing place to be, and look more like someone who has access to a lot of weird sources, what they would do if they sort of doodled something like this, but they tried to make it look respectable, you know, so this like confusing mashup in a way, and sometimes it didn't work as well as others, but
do you have some that you're particularly proud of?
I mean, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I think I like the ones Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
One that I really liked was the Doppelganger.
That was, I think, maybe the second one I actually drew. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like, it has this kind of confusing logic that's like, it's the kind of like, the whole deal with that comic is that it's like someone who thinks they're smarter than they are, and then go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's basically, that's the joke over and over and over again. Hopefully, like, in slightly different ways. But, yeah, I don't know.
Do you kind of see it as a continuous thread or continuous dialogue, or do they kind of need to stand by themselves?
I definitely meant it to be doing it in the weekly. I was really kind of consoled myself with the idea that I would somehow, some way, put it together so that you could read it all in a sitting kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Which I'm told takes about 30 minutes if you go slowly, which is, I'm sure, every person who makes comics of some kind has. That's depressing in its own way. But like, it took me how long to make that? And someone's like, "Yeah, I had a bath and read it. It was good."
Yeah, it's like like getting a Jason book.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, yeah, that's a good example. I just rip through his work, yeah. Which is good, but it's also like, it's not, yeah.
How much did he put into it?
Yeah, I know. Poor Jason.
All those Norwegian nibs.
Poor everyone. Say that, poor everyone who's listened to this show and who has ever made a comic, even though a lot of them wouldn't consider what I did a comic. Still, I know the grief. I definitely, back to your question, I mean, I meant it to be read together, because the deal is that because the character is only through voice alone, I think you pick up on recurring themes easier that way rather than, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're fine on their own, but I like it better. I really liked it when I got it finally as a book, and I was like, oh, finally, this is good. This is what I was hoping for.
It's working.
Yeah, I didn't say it like that. I was like, yeah, you
all
did
right.
It, Fenwick.
Thumbs up.
You've got a hit on your hands. This is going to sell upwards of 10 copies. I think it's like anyone, whether it's an artist or a cartoonist or whatever, the context is like hugely important. You know, getting it to the right people, but also like having it appear in the right kind of way. Like, it's just like it. Like, I thought about it as a zine, like self-publishing, and I was like, it's kind of, I don't know that it would be the way I wanted to. You know, so. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting the way you lay it out, because it's. They work, you do the pages by themselves, so it's not like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really focused, so you look at that one and you're not distracted by the other, so it kind of takes you and it's separate.
Yeah, and I heard someone, it's funny, I was at a launch for it, and someone didn't know that I was the person who did it, and they were talking about it, and they were like, kind of like snootily saying, it's like, oh, it must be nice to, you know. Only have to put one on a page. It's like someone must really like. It was kind of like it's like I didn't have to do that much work, but then also like it's like too luxurious or something like that. But like the whole idea is, I mean, without sort of spoiling anything, I mean, it's like that the way that is makes sense in terms of what that thing actually is in the end, and it is something. Specific, so it could only be have been. It makes sense that it's that way.
Any truths that you wrote, especially true to you, regardless of how ridiculous they sound when you wrote them out?
Oh, I mean, there. It's all. I had to talk about that exact question, like with my girlfriend the other night, because. There was a really awful review of it in a place that I won't name, and of the book, and they just talked about irony and that, you know, someday when I'm able to get past irony, that blah blah blah, you know, I'll maybe have something on my hands or whatever. But And, you know, it's just funny to me because the irony, when people talk about irony, they're generally talking about, like, an insincerity or, like, that what's being put down is, like, throwaway or, you know, mm-hmm. It's not, it doesn't actually have a basis in something that the person cares about. It's more like, you know, isn't this hilarious or whatever. But, I mean, it's all the issues in the book, like, this person, you know, these are all things that I think about a lot and they're all, it's all, you know, it's like anyone's stuff that they've written. It's them. It's just a sort of like a little bit warped or hyperbolized version of themselves. So, you know, like I'm like anyone else, and like the character in the book, I you know, I hope that people think I'm smarter than I actually am, and you know, I stress about being intelligent and you know, like there's a lot of stuff about that in there, and then there's just the kind of like. The pompousness is me too, and it, you know, dialed up, way up. I hope, but it's all unfortunately true. And even the weird truths are, and sometimes are like social criticism in some small way that I'm, you know, having a go at or something through this character. So it would be impossible for me. I'm just not that skilled. I wouldn't be able to write something that's like. I'm going to inhabit the mind of this other mm-hmm. character. I'm not, I can't do it.
There's a personalness to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, for better or for worse, it's pretty much similar to me, unfortunately. Feeling the psychic, passing through electric.
Let's talk a little bit about your MoM work, because that's your more recent stuff. Like, I guess the Hall of Best Knowledge, how long did that finish?
Oh, that would have been a couple of years back now. So Yeah, it's hard for me to remember when it actually... maybe 2 and a bit years, I guess. Yeah.
So what was... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
What was your goal? Like, what did you want to try and do when you started doing stuff for MoM?
Well, for MoM, I just sort of, like, felt like... Well, there's like, a couple of different things. There's... Some of these, like, most of them are single panel things, and some of them are drawings, and some of them are sort of drawings and paintings on old book covers, which I just use because they make for like a cheap and nice canvas, and they mm-hmm. smell funny, and I like going and looking for them. It's just like there's no real meaning in it aside from the fact that it's just fun to draw on them. And so I wanted to do things that were like a combination of like a more alt comic version of a gag comic, like that, yeah. You know, so the gags aren't real gags, they're not always that funny, sometimes they're just sort of mean, you know, like sort of poking fun at sort of cruelty and then sometimes they're just like, yeah, single ideas. And then there's a serialized one now that I've started. That's a couple issues. Well, I guess in recent. Yeah, I started the most recent issue. I started a new actual sort of strip, regular strip called The Truth Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I think I'm just trying to with that one, with the Truth Bear one. I just that's just sort of me thinking through this bear and his buddy, which is this talking
dividing rod,
yeah. And so they're just much like Yogi Bear, sort of looking for the picnic baskets, and you know, as they're like, that's all him and Boo Boo did. Mm-hmm. It's basically like this bear and his divining stick looking for truth and sort of all the stuff that happens and you know what that means, and it's just sort of like just fun to think about that stuff through these characters and like in a really outrageous way. But yeah, and the other things, the drawings and book covers, that's sort of just me trying to find a way to make something that's like a combination of art and comics and isn't just doesn't demean either of them.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. I'm not, obviously, anyone who looks at this stuff, I'm not, like, I love comics, but I don't have the, like,
You're not sticking to the conventions.
Yeah, and that, I hope that people don't see that as, like, a kind of, like, I think I'm better than them, or I understand them so well that I don't care, or something like that. It's just, like, I like drawing, and I like writing, and comics, I mean, are the way to do that, so... and I like, you know, making art, so it's fun to combine them, and you know, and I do love comics, but I'm just not, you know, yeah. I mean, I read comics, definitely, so I'm not trying to pee all over the forum or something like that.
That would be very awkward.
Yeah.
Your first MoM stuff seems like you take a completely different step and kind of step away from that in future ones, like the Hate Free Zone. And
yeah, well, I mean, those are like the other ones that came out, but just more. They're just, I mean, really the only difference is that they're drawing on paper and done in a way that I would do a normal comic, and like mm-hmm. inked and colored in Photoshop and that kind of stuff. But do you mean like the themes or something like
it
that?
Most of the stuff, it's the old book covers or yeah. the Truth Bear. But this one just seems, it does seem to be really different, especially the Hate Free Zone, because it's so, I mean, there's no dialogue is one thing, but...
Yeah, well, I think I initially was, for those ones, it was like, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to make these single comics, and they're all generally related to this sort of theme of of just cruelty in the kind of age that we live in now. And you, like, a lot of it was sort of like, there's one about sort of like internet commentary and you know, and stuff like that. So anyways, there was sort of like, I tried that and, but you're right. Yeah. Like I, at that time I was thinking, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I'll try making patterns that are comics as well as, you know, and so I tried that and then I think the thinking in my head after that was I kind of started to want, I was into the idea of making, drawings that I could actually hang somewhere and like put together because I thought, oh, it'd be cool to put these kinds of things in the context of a small, like, gallery or something like that. Just because I think, I mean, again, with context, I just think it's fun to try stuff like that. So, and I thought if I could also put them in MoM, then, and those guys are just like outrageously cool. Like, I assumed I'd be like, you know, this is what I was thinking of doing, and I was all stressed about him. Like, I'm expecting him to be like, okay, well, I think we've let you.
You've gone far enough.
Yeah, that's good. We'll talk to you later. But no, they haven't said that yet.
No, I've heard nothing but love from the from those folks.
Oh, great. Well, that's good. Yeah, they're pretty. That, I mean, that's a whole other thing is that people listening. You know, I'm sure that, yeah, I just, personally, I just assume the worst of people, but I assume in, like, in business, like, in industries, generally, that the people are just, you know, out for, to make sure something is saleable, and then, but they, you know, but these guys are all, they're just so nice, like, they're just, they really are, not to be a total hippie or anything, but, like, they're just so nice and supportive, and, like, I just can't believe it. Like, I just, you know, I'm sure it would be different if somehow I was doing a comic for, like, a different publisher. But generally, I feel like everyone I meet in comics so far is totally nice, and none of them have made fun of my work to my face. So it's amazing.
Just wait. I'm sure Johnny Ryan will have a text-based piece one day.
Yeah, it'll do it better. It'll be good. Yeah.
It'll be filled with balls and
yeah, totally. They'll be dripping
farts.
With, oh wait, well, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, let's keep that off the air.
Let's keep PG-13.
Yeah.
The one of the things in MoM, one of the more recent ones, the five oracles of gossip, and that internet one you mentioned. It's kind of like a different side to truth.
Yeah.
Than the Hall of Knowledge. It's kind of.
A little bit harsher.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I think I'm really sensitive to the idea of truth because and this is a real comics related thing. It's like I do the things that I do and you know, with little to no confidence in their worth. I just do them because I think, you know, I have fun doing them and I think I have a couple things I want to like think about through these drawings, and then I go and I look at comics that I really like you know, I'm like, I'm into a bunch of different comics, but you know, like, I do like Jeffrey Brown, and I do like, and I like Paper Rad at the same time, and I like autobiographical things. Like, I really am excited to get the new David Heatley comic.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love
fantastic.
That stuff, and that's like a that's like its own kind of truth, right? And then there's, and so, you know, I think a lot about, you know, like, oh, am I doing, is anything I'm doing truthful in that way? And the, I mean, the answer is no, but it, you know, it's like, it is truthful in that I don't do anything that I don't care about. And so, you know, it's just confusing. It's a confusing thing. Like, it's hard to respect certain kinds of work and then not be compelled to do those kinds of work, to want to, you know, I want to develop in my own way and do what's natural, so that I think the results will be better that way, rather than just trying to immediately, you know, like, you, like, I'm like anyone, I read a comic and I'm like, oh god, David Heatley's so good, you know, or you know, some autobiographical comic, I'm like, that's so good, I want to do that. But I don't think that's the right reason to do something.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking lately that most of my stuff that it, that I'm going to do is going to be autobiographical in a way, but not, but it's in the way that, say, like creative nonfiction is, right? Like, or fiction, which is generally based on someone, but, yeah. And then maybe someday I'll want to tell my own stories. I mean, I certainly have lots of them, but right now I feel like couching them in a different kind of context. So, but
well,
yeah.
I was going to say, you mentioned Paper Red.
Yeah.
I don't see any truths in Paper Red.
Well, I guess, okay, well, yeah, that's not, that's a different kind of, yeah, that's not, yeah.
That's a whole bit of madness.
But at the same time, like, I have to say, you know, like, I was reading the Best American Comics from last year that David Healy did the cover. It sounds like I'm obsessed with David Healy, but I mean, he's amazing, but, that collection, which had all these different kinds of comics, and I was like, I just thought it was so rad because it was like, you know, to be honest, I can only read so many slice of life comics before I'm just like, I kind of want something different. And so, and then all of a sudden I'm reading Paper Red, and I was just like, this is outrageous. Like, it's its own thing, and I think I generally get, do comics people not like Paper Red? Is that
it depends. I mean, Picture Box publishes Paper Red stuff.
Yeah,
it's you know, Paper Red was in I think one or two Kramer's Ergots.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I guess the thing is like I'm definitely not a purist, and I think that there's room for everything, and maybe I'm trying to find a sort of halfway point between stuff that's weird and kind of gives you that moment of like you know, when I read something from Paper Red or like the Thunder Fort Thunder guys, and like I get a feeling that to me is just as good as the feeling that I get from reading auto bio comics, but it's just its own thing. It's like listening to different kinds of music, you know, like sometimes I'm totally in the mood for house music, and then other times I'd, it's the last thing I feel like listening to. But yeah, was that enough generalities?
That was awesome.
I'm just like, it's like, why don't I just say as much known things as possible? Good things that are different are good, or not.
Different.
I have no opinion on anything.
Different. Good.
But I will say that, but I mean, it just like, it pains me when I hear people, you know, dumping on comics that are like the weirder, more art comics, because like I feel like people only do that because they're like afraid of them or something, like they're like this idea that they're sullying the like good name of comics, to me is just a joke. It's like, get over yourself.
Well, I think people that have issues with a lot of the more experimental stuff, it's just, it's not letting comics move ahead if they're not embracing it. And I think,
I think if it was the case that the people doing it thought comics were stupid or something, then it's like, okay, well, why are you doing it then? You know, but I think that these people who do more experimental comics, they love comics, and they're doing them in the way that they can do them, which I think is amazing. You know, like, that's what else do you want from humanity but for people to take what they've got and do something rad with it? And like, I don't know.
Well, like, even now, I find people still have, there's a lot of love for Panther, but there's still a lot of people that just don't get it. And it took me a while to get it, too, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, at first, I was like, the hell? And, you know, since then, I've sat down and, you know, read probably 90% of his work.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean, like, you don't, like, if there's no, like, trade-off where it's like, okay, if I start getting into Gary Panter, then I can't read, you know, Adrian Tomine anymore, or I have to throw away all my Love and Rockets or something.
Yeah.
It's not necessary, dude.
No.
It's okay. You don't have to eat stew every night. You can also have stew with tomato sauce. I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Autobiocomics are not stew. Okay.
Yeah.
Classic comics are not stew.
It's better to mix it up, yo.
Yeah. 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 Tu es mal poli, je t'avais dit de ne pas me tutoyer. Nous n'avons rien gardé ensemble et ne payons pas le même loyer. Tu poses.
because it's the I'm doing the month long focus on Canadian. What is being Canadian cartoonist mean to you?
And
you don't get much more Canadian than living in the Maritimes, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. I don't know. I mean, I'm never gonna move away from Canada. I think it's hard to say what parts of my sensibility are formed by Canada, but, you know, for me, Canada is like, in the cities that I've lived at least, not having access to a lot of people who made comics, so I just don't really know what I'm doing. And I think that that's the things that I've made that I've really liked are definitely a result of that lack of education. But, like, at the same, you know, I mean, or I just think, and I think the, I don't know. I don't think there's, that's a tough question.
That's okay.
It's a tough question.
It's,
I mean, I know that people say that humor is, like, a real Canadian thing, but I feel like that's something Canadians say because they want to have some identity,
yeah.
You know, like that's separate from the States. And it's like, lots of Canadians have gone to Second City, and
that's because,
like,
Second City's in Chicago, and Chicago's very close to Canada.
Yeah, or it's like, look, you know, all the funniest people in Hollywood are Canadians. It's, yeah.
If you like Mike Myers and Jim Carrey, you know.
Yeah.
I'm particularly not too excited by their.
I'm just gonna say it right here in front of you that I don't care for those people. I in fact, Jim Carrey just kills me. But yeah.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. We're not nationalistic people. I don't find unless it's like related to being on a beer commercial, and that's pretty much it, you know. I'm like,
what do you have coming out in the future?
Well, I'm continuing to do stuff with Moam, but I also, in terms of things that are comics, I have some different sort of shows that I mean, most of the stuff that I do for that I would call art, like, are pretty much comic based if they're not actual comics. Like, I have something coming out in Swindle magazine, which is kind of like a arts and culture magazine, and where they have comics like Mark Bell has done a comic in there, and you know, Mark Bell,
another wonderful Canadian.
Yeah, another Canadian. And but so for that, it's like a comic, but it's kind of like a broken narrative told through, like, you know, six sort of paintings or whatever. But and then I have some, I just did a really massive poster with these guys, Tiny Showcase, who do art prints, but they're sort of like branching out into becoming sort of like a publisher of sorts. So I did a poster that's kind of like a combination of a comic and, it's comic-y.
And, no, is that the silkscreen print, or the silkscreen print something else?
No, I don't know. The silkscreen print is... Oh, yeah, I did it. That's probably from a T-shirt design from years back. Or
whatever. Oh, okay.
But, this isn't out yet, but... and then I'm working on putting together a sort of, like, doing the research for, like, a longer thing. But I can't... Yeah, I guess I'd probably shoot myself in the foot if I said anything about it. But, yeah, something that's, like, hopefully to be... published by someone in the future.
Yeah. Please.
Big enough for you. Not Canadian themed though, so that's good. But it's kind of this thing I want to do that's a combination of a sort of logical next step of being comics plus short stories and just various degrees of combining text and image, sometimes favoring one over the other. Yeah, so it should be good.
And will we continue to see you in the pages of Moam?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Knock on wood. Until I do something that's just like, okay. Until I submit, like, thumbprints and start calling them comics. But I don't think I'm going to get to that point.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. Do a thumbprint and draw a little face on it.
There we go.
Like, check it out.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ray.
Thank you. It was fun.
And the Hall of Best Knowledge is your main, or Hall of Best Knowledge.
Yes.
And you're also featured in the pages of the Fantagraphics Anthology Moam, and you're in the four most recent, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah.
I know my stuff.
And I think there's an interview just to pimp it a little, there's an interview in the most recent one.
I say some
really embarrassing things, so that's pretty good.
There we go. In case today wasn't embarrassing enough.
Yeah, seriously. You know, in case
take it to the next level.
Enough stupid things. Let's get the quota up by looking at that interview as well.
There we go. Thanks so much, Ray.
Thank you.
That was Ray Fenwick, and we were discussing his book, Hall of Best Knowledge, and his work in the wonderful anthology Moam from Fantagraphics. I love it. Every time I pick up a book, one of them, I find a new artist that I want to talk to, and I think you'll want to listen to. Next week, if all goes right, we will be joined by Hamilton's own David Collier, and he is a Canadian legend, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. He's a pretty swell guy. I've heard nothing but wonderfulness. So keep listening. Ink Studs, CITR 101.9 FM. Up next, we got Crimes and Treasons, yo.
The lights, they call me. Call me to your side. The lights, they blind me. They take my side. Will you restore me? Raise my senses again. The lights, they blind me. Words unspoken, the truth is